14 miles per hour. Tonight, then, rain likely, low 63. Sunset, by the way, 8:35. Quick check ahead. Wednesday, sunny and 82. Thursday, real hot, sunny and 93. Friday, 40% chance of rain, a high of 87. And the weekend looks great. Sunny and warm both days, a high of 83. Here are the numbers now. Wind southwest at 7. Humidity low at 56%. A lovely morning. Blue sky, sunshine, 69 degrees across the board. Racine, Kenosha, Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. This past weekend on the grounds of Kenosha's Kemper Center, located on 3rd Avenue right on Lake Michigan, some very special events took place to celebrate an auspicious anniversary, the 150th anniversary of the founding of Kemper Hall, a wonderful girls' school that was housed on those grounds for just over a century before closing in 1975. Last week, I had the pleasure of sitting down with three alums of Kemper Hall, Barb Axelson, Anna McGuire from the class of 1965, and Susan McMinn from the class of 1972, to talk about the anniversary festivities and about their experiences as students at Kemper Hall. I began the conversation, however, by asking Barb Axelson to talk a little about her years when she worked here at WGTD back in the 1980s.
Oh, I was a reporter. That was like my all-time favorite job. And I was the worst morning anchor that was ever around. I used to step on Bob Edwards, right?
Right.
I used to step on him. The network would come in, and I wouldn't be finished. Oh. And I'd still be talking over him. And so I did some reporting and some anchoring and worked with Bill Guy. And then you came along. And it was, I think I left in 88. Is that possible?
Wow.
Wow,
that's a long time ago.
It is.
Well, we're glad to have you back in our studios, and I'm so glad you reached out to talk about Kemper Hall and this 150th anniversary celebration. So
we're very happy that it's coming along. It's our sesquicentennial of the founding. Kemper Hall was founded in 1870, and we were shooting for 2020, but COVID, you know. So that's why we're doing it now. And it seems funny. We've been waiting all this time to actually have our big weekend, and now we're all scrambling to get everything ready for it.
After the long windup, finally it's time to throw the ball.
Right. So people are coming from all over the country to come, and I think it'll be our biggest alumni gathering to celebrate this, and we're really looking forward to it.
Fantastic. And just for the clarification of our listeners, we are recording this a couple of days before the big event, and so listeners are actually hearing this on June 28th, when in the happy afterglow, you will be looking back on a weekend of great success. So, Barb, I know that you are the person of the three entrusted with giving us kind of a sketch of the 150-year history of Kemper Hall.
Well, just a very quick rundown. A lot of people in Kenosha and Kenosha County aren't even really aware what those buildings were. And it was a girls' school. And in 1865, around in there, Senator Durkee bequeathed his house and his land to Kemper. And they founded a female seminary, and so that was around for about 5 years, and that got off the ground pretty well. And then in 1870, it became Kemper Hall, and Bishop Kemper founded it. And so that's why we have Founders Day on a certain day in June. And that's the founding of Kemper Hall in 1870. It went along as a girls' school, and the trustees ran into a little financial bump around 1880 or so, and called in the Sisters of St. Mary from Peekskill, New York. And they took it over, and they did a really good job. So Mother Margaret Clare came, and they ran the school, and she got it out of its financial difficulties and really built a reputation, ran it with an iron hand, and she's sort of famous for her rules, which included sitting up straight and speaking well of other people and not bragging and all the things really that you shouldn't do, you know. But she said it in a very sisterly way, very sisterly way. And she ran the place until 1918. Mm-hmm. And during her reign, she did a lot of fundraising and really established the school and was responsible for most of the buildings that got built. And then in 1931, Mother Mary Ambrose took over, and she was the Mother Superior at Kemper Hall until 68, round in there. So, yeah. And times became rough, and a trusteeship of businessmen took over sometime around 1970, and times got tougher. And they finally, there's a lot of maintenance, and the idea of a boarding school wasn't in vogue at all during those times. And so in 1975, it closed. And one of our alumni, some of our alumni, but one in particular, Penny Palmer Enroth, was responsible for saving the property from becoming condos on the beautiful lakefront. And she worked with the county board, and the county took it over. And so the relationship is a little bit confusing, but Kenosha County owns the property, and they lease it to, I guess it's a corporation, Kemper Center, and they run the place. So there's the Kenosha County, Kemper Center is a Kenosha County park, which is run by Kemper Center, and the Kemper Hall Alumni Association has had the good luck to meet there and, you know, promote our awareness of Kemper Hall, and that's kind of why we wanted to talk about it today.
Right. So this 150th anniversary of all of this. Let me get a little bit of clarification about exactly what you see when you're on the grounds of what we now call Kemper Center. You mentioned the name of Durkee, and Mr. Durkee, who gave his mansion right there on the lakefront for the formation of first a seminary and then ultimately a school. So our business person is Susan McMinn, right?
Yes.
So can you clarify, when we're on the grounds of Kemper, what is that so-called Durkee Mansion? And then what are other things that sprang up later in addition to it?
Okay. Senator Durkee became ill, and so his doctor sent him out to Utah so that his health would improve. And St. Matthew's Episcopal Church asked if they could lease it from he and his wife to start this School of Higher Learning, the seminary. And they agreed, and so they were leasing it. And their first year, I believe they had 9 students, and they lived in the mansion. And it became very popular, and it started to expand. So by 1971, the building started to build out. So it's very, lots of stairs there and lots of different levels. They built a dining room and a study hall, and above those two floors were dormitories. And then in 1875, St. Mary's Chapel was built, because the girls, everybody did chapel every morning. and a south cloister so that we could get from the school to the chapel without going out into the elements. And it kept expanding because it was doing better and better every year, and kids were coming from further away from the Oklahoma territory, from all the way out west. And so the expansion began of building a larger dining room and classroom, and then they put it in an observatory. And at that time, they had enough money that they put in a telescope that was as up-to-date as Harvard's. So it was very, very impressive. Towards the back, because the sisters believed in exercise and they needed more classrooms, they built a building called Armitage Hall. And it looked, from the outside, exactly like the chapel, the shape with the pitched roof. And that was, it was a gymnasium, it was an art studio, and when they did plays and things, that's the place where families could come and watch the productions. But it was taking up too much land space because it was just one building. So the sisters had it leveled, and they built in its place. It's not particularly pretty, but it's out back, a two-story. And it was filled with classrooms for practicing music. There were all these rooms with pianos in them, and language classes and other classes. So they were still expanding. In 1901, we had our Simmons Auditorium built, and that was done by Zelman Simmons from the Simmons Mattress Factory. And it was named Simmons after his son, who had passed away quite young. And they built that, and in the basement, hardly anybody knows this anymore, but there was a two-lane bowling alley down there. And we have a picture of it, and it was beautiful. But over time, they needed that space, and it turned into North Studio, which was an art studio for making jewelry, pottery, photography. There was a dark room down there, and then there was another quite large room that held all the costumes, and that's where our actors for our plays would get ready to go upstairs to the gym to put on their production. And in the gym, in 1911, one of the teachers who graduated from Kemper drew, and her students, art students, painted the Bayou tapestry from about halfway up to the ceiling, and it's 360 degrees. And so it was the Battle of Hastings. And it's still there. Somebody came and they restored parts of it that kind of fell apart, and it's beautiful. Yeah. It really is worth coming to see. And the top two floors of the gymnasium were dormitories. And then in 1911, St. Mary's Convent was built, and a north cloister so that the sisters could get from the chapel to their convent. And we were never allowed to go there, so we were always trying to peek behind the doors. What is in there? Yeah. And then in the later years, 1953, North Studio was built. And that was for drawing, watercolor. We had Katie B. Faulkner, who was quite a renowned artist. And on the wall of North Studio is a stone mural that she did in honor of the Sisters of St. Mary's. And it's still there today, and it's beautiful. And then in 1957, an altar bread department was built. And it's just a small square building, but the sisters made altar bread, and they sent it all over the world for many, many years. And that's all the buildings. I think I covered them.
So when you visit Kemper, it mostly looks like one big building.
So
most of it is, at least for the most part, interconnected. Where did it start? What is the oldest part of Kemper when we look at it?
Durkee Mansion.
And I mean, what part of that big structure, what part of that is Durkee Mansion?
It is, when you drive up, you'll see the gym, you see an archway that you can drive a car under, then there's a long stretch of building, and that was the study hall and dining room, but out front, and there's gates on 3rd Avenue, and that is the Durkee Mansion. It's kind of square. It's three stories. It had a ballroom up on the third story. And then from there on, everything goes north, which would be the chapel, the convent.
Mm, very good. So, Barb, can you clarify the kind of things that go on now at Kemper Center. I mean, not that you are specifically involved with the operation of Kemper Center, but I suspect you have some idea about the kind of things that go on there.
Well, Kemper Center is home to jazz, Twilight Jazz in the summer. It's a beautiful county experience where people just kind of mill around and listen to the music and have a little wine. That's by Anderson Center. And Anderson Center was bequeathed to Kemper Hall by Janet Anderson, who was in the class of 1910, and her daughter was in the 35, I think. She graduated in 35, and her granddaughter, it was class of 65. She's our class. Yay! And so that land and the house, that mansion, Kemper Center, was bequeathed by the Andersons. They did a lot in this community, Anderson Park and all kinds of things. So that's part of Kemper Center, too, and that's where Twilight Jazz happens. And Kemper Center is, we have Christmas at Kemper, where the whole community, it's open to the whole community, and they can come and look at the decorations and take advantage of all the things. People have weddings, people get married, people have conferences. It's used greatly. I think it's a wonderful addition to the community. I don't know, and you're out there performing and doing things. I'm sure that you performed at Kemper.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I've attended a lot of different retreats that have happened there. I mean, it's a beautiful space for retreats and various meetings and so on. And there's all kinds of great things that go on. And I've had the pleasure of singing at a couple of weddings in the lovely chapel there. So yeah, Kemper feels like home in a lot of ways.
And the lake. The lake is beautiful. It's all at lakefront territory there that's open to the public and is just a gift. It really is.
Absolutely. For those of you just joining us, we are talking about Kemper Hall, the grounds of which are now known as Kemper Center. And Kemper is celebrating its 150th anniversary. And I'm glad, Barb, you offered the clarification that actually the 150th anniversary celebration should have happened back in 2020, mm-hmm. but something called COVID-19 came along and put the kibosh on just about everything fun there for quite a long time. And so now, a couple of years after the fact, the 150th anniversary, the sesquicentennial of Kemper, is finally being celebrated. And this past weekend, some big events occurred, which were a celebration of that. We'll talk about that shortly. I'm really curious to hear from each of you, and I want to start with Anna McGuire, since we haven't heard from you yet. I want to have each of you talk a little bit about the kind of education that you received as students at Kemper Hall. And can you clarify what's the age group that we're talking about in terms of the women who attended Kemper as students? Would this have been your high school years or later than that or earlier than that?
Well, it definitely depended on the woman, the girl. But I started in the sixth grade. So I went sixth grade through 12th at Kemper. And I from what I tell my children, my two daughters are constantly saying, why wasn't it here when I was around? It was a wonderful place. It was very disciplined, intellectually superior. It expected that you do the best you can, and it surrounded you with enough interesting information to never stop wondering, you know, constantly. It was a wonderful school. We would meet at 8 o'clock, have a small chapel service. We had fire numbers, which will be a part of our celebration, which you would call out your number, and then we'd know that you were here and that nothing had happened to you. And they would use that.
150. When we were there, about 150 students from sixth or seventh grade all the way up to 12th grade.
Yes.
Yes. So that's how big the school was.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just curious, do you remember anything about the discussion in your family in terms of you going to Kemper versus attending some other kind of school? I mean, you'd obviously been schooled in some other fashion before the sixth grade,
right.
Or were you just told one day, you're going to go to Kemper next year.
No, I grew up in a family of my three cousins and my three siblings. There were seven of us. So it wasn't, discussions weren't a part of the deal, but the priest at our church was Father Withy, who also was chaplain to Kemper Hall. And so he had talked about it. He thought that it would be a good thing for me. And so my parents said, okay, and I was lucky enough to have a partial scholarship. So that was wonderful. And my sister, who's 4 years younger than me, went to Kemper. So, and she had as wonderful a time as I did. Very different times, 4 years later, every year, you know, changes in terms of what's done. But we had a very disciplined life, and we went to chapel, we went to our classes, we had lunch, we went to classes, we had classes ended at 4, we had after-school gym from 4 to 5, and then 5 to 6 was boarders getting ready for dinner, and then 6 to 7 was dinner and going up to your room. And then they had study hall from 7 to 9, where you would just study, where if you were in a drama group or in a musical group and you had rehearsals, that's where you would be from 7 to 9. So it was a very organized, structured existence that really gave you discipline and the knowledge that you have the ability, you yourself have the ability to regulate what becomes of you. Hmm. And I think that was the best. I loved it there. Can you tell?
I very much can tell. I want to talk to your classmate next, and then we'll get to Susan after that. Barb, for you, what was the decision to go to Kemper? Was this also a
My
sort of a legacy?
My mother went there.
Ah.
And so all my friends went on to Lincoln Junior High, and I didn't, and I wasn't real happy about that. But I settled down after a while. And I guess my favorite teacher was Miss Carpenter, was the English teacher, and really gave us a wonderful feeling for Shakespeare and Dickens. I love Dickens. Things that really stick with you, and grammar. We had to diagram the first sentence of the Constitution. Is it the Constitution? When in the course of human events, or is that the Declaration? I get them mixed up. When in the course of human events, I remember having to diagram that sentence. It was awful, but it was wonderful, and it was very different, and. The boarders had a very different life from the day students. I was, of course, a day student. And I think that the boarders really made up most of the school. The day students were maybe 20%, would you say, something like that?
I think so.
So most of the girls lived there, and they had a very much more disciplined life than I did. It was tough. Sister Mary Hillary was our chemistry teacher.
American history. I didn't have her.
Oh,
Sammy.
I had Mary Hillary for chemistry and biology. Holy cow, she was tough. It, for us in 65, being a day student, it was sort of an odd mix because it was the 60s and the world was changing. And so we had that very interior world and a very exterior world going on outside. So it was an interesting time.
Now, when you were a day student, so in other words, you weren't living at Kemper, you were just students there. When would you go home? Would you go home at 5 or would you go home at 9? I mean, were you involved in some of these things going on in the evening?
I was. I was involved in all the theater and musicals and all of that. So sometimes my dad would pick me up at 5 and then I'd go home, grab something to eat, and then he'd drop me off. But a lot of times I would just, if he wasn't going to be able to, I would have some food to eat. But often Martha and Marion, who were the cooks in the kitchen, would send one of the boarders and get me because someone said, oh, Anna's sitting in studying while eating before she goes to rehearsal, and they would pull me into the kitchen and say, sit down. I said, what did I do? You know, and they, no. The first time I was terrified. They said, no, here's dinner. Eat dinner. You're going to have a hot meal if you're going to be here for another 2 hours.
Ah.
So it was very, very, very kind. They're very kind. Everyone was very kind. Not to say that you couldn't make mistakes and they smile at it, but...
And how big a class would the class of 65 have been? And did both of you go all the way through the end of 12th grade and graduate?
There were a class of, our class was 29. We had 29 students in the class.
And I was a 16-year-old girl that was, thought I didn't fit in. And so I went to Tremper. I left in the middle of my junior year and actually was the first graduating class from Tremper in Kenosha in 65. So I'm not really a graduate of Kemper
not
Hall.
True.
But I was there a long time. And at this point, nobody cares.
Right. In spirit, you're a graduate of Kemper Hall. Very good. Well, we also have in the room Susan McMinn, but she's the class of 72. So 7 years later. And I'm just really curious, I mean, not that, I don't know if you were a student there already in 65, but I have a feeling you have at least some sense of the way in which Kemper was changing. And of course, you would be among the last classes to graduate from Kemper. Tell us what your sense of the school was and if it was a significantly different place than what Anna and Barb have been describing.
It was different. It was still very strict, but it was also a little bit looser, and we didn't have sisters teaching us classes. They were getting elderly and retiring. My parents wanted me to have a higher education. I'm just from over the border in Beach Park, but it was also out in the country, so there was like two little girls to play with my whole life, and they just thought I would do much better in a more strict environment, because being almost an only child, I have a brother, but he's much older. I could come and do what I wanted and no issues, but I absolutely loved it. It was like having a bunch of sisters, and it was a great education. It was just good having all these family members, if you will. I loved the religious aspect of it, the theology classes, not so much the language classes, because I don't do really good, but we had to take Latin, and then we had to take a language of our choice, so that would be Spanish for me. We had a great math teacher at the time, but again, my teachers were mostly different, and Miss Carpenter had retired. And because when they all get together and they're talking about Miss Carpenter and I'm sitting there quiet and I go, I didn't have her. Oh. I wish I had. She sounded wonderful.
Yeah. When did you start at Kemper as a student?
1968.
And in what year? Freshman. So your
yes.
Ninth grade then.
Yes. So I was there for 4 years. And they offered so much. And I enjoyed sports to a certain extent, but the thing that I really loved the most was equestrian riding. So that was every Friday, and that was right up my alley.
Wow. So how large was your class compared to the class of 29 students that Anna and Barb were part of?
There were five.
Wow.
And we had a boy in our class, and he was from Cameroon in the Africa. One of our teachers would go, he was with the Peace Corps, and he would go in the summertime. And he met this young man, and he just knew he was just brilliant and wanted to bring him here. And the sister said yes, but he had to live with the teacher, and they lived off-site. And he is now a retired doctor in New Jersey.
Wow.
So he did excellent. So our class was very, very small.
And that gives us some sense of where things are going then. And I suspect even at that fairly young age, you were probably also aware that things are changing and maybe this place is dwindling.
Yes. Well, we knew it was dwindling, but there's always hope. And I know 3 years later at Christmas, we got the letter that it was closing. It was, for a young person, it was the most devastating thing I had gone through yet. Wow. It was just, you know, and that the buildings were still there. And Penny, it just gave us hope because it's beautiful. Mm. You know, if you enjoy history and you enjoy old buildings, and it looks so much nicer and cleaner today. Back then, I would compare it to like Harry Potter.
Mm.
You know, there was an arboretum, trees of every different kind that you could imagine that would grow in this area. But you could not see the buildings from Third Avenue. And you know, it's close, but that's how many trees there were.
Wow.
And now it's much more open after a couple storms. And
right.
But anyway, it was a wonderful education.
Hmm. I don't ever remember hearing about any male students at Kemper. Was that sort of unprecedented? I mean, for instance, this boy that went was part of your class?
I believe that started probably when I was a sophomore, so around 1970, because the enrollment was so low. And so the boys that came all lived in the Kenosha area, and they were younger. I mean, by the end, when I was there, they were first grade through 12th. We didn't have very many high school. I don't think we had any high school boys going except for Francois, who was in my class. But they enjoyed it, and then when Kemper was closed, the parents started Armitage Hall, which is, I think, on Library Circle.
Yes.
Was. Yes. And I don't know if it's still there or not. But.
And that was, in a sense, to fill the void that
correct.
That was
yes.
there with the closing then of Kemper Hall after
yes.
all those years.
Yeah.
For those of you just joining us on today's morning show, we are talking about Kemper Hall. The grounds of which are now known as Kemper Center, Kemper Hall, a proud ornament in the cultural landscape and educational landscape of Kenosha for 150 years, although the school was not open for 150 years, but they are celebrating their 150th anniversary. Actually, it should have been back in 2020, but COVID prevented a proper celebration from taking place. So now some celebratory events are going on this summer and beyond to celebrate the rich history of Kemper Hall. Who wants to talk about the events, which by the time this airs will have already transpired, but in terms of this past weekend, the anniversary events, which I understand included a very special bonfire?
When we were at Kemper, we had two teams, the Sissies and the Cuckoos. Those aren't their official names. It's Awa Sissy and something.
Cuckoo.
Yeah. You can tell we were sissies.
Native American names, they are.
Yeah, Native American names. And so they'd have a bonfire and singing, and the two teams would be on different sides. This is just in the fall when you were just coming to Kemper for the first time. And so then there'd be the bonfire, and then you get to pull out of a hat what team you would be on. And so sometimes there'd be sisters who'd pull out the opposite team from their sibling, and there would be a kind of, is that good or is that bad, you know? But at any rate, they would sing a lot of songs.
People,
and
people sisters, not sisters.
Yes,
sisters.
Real sisters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you are that for life.
Once you pull that.
Yes, once you pull that, that's, and the same thing with your older sister. The
yes, new girl, old girl.
Yeah, new girl, old girl. So we're going to have a small bonfire. And it used to be in the last, gosh knows how many years, when the Kemper girls would come on a Friday night for a reunion, they would go over to Villa
De Carlo.
Yeah, and they would have pizzas and things. So we're having pizza in the gym being delivered, and then we're going out to the bonfire, and we're going to sing Sissy Cuckoo songs.
Mm.
And we'll divide up. Anyone forgets their team, we'll be able to appropriately assign them for the evening. And we'll sing those songs. And that's pretty much what that first evening is. In the next morning, we have photos and things being taken of classes and breakfast. And then we go.
We're going to chapel.
We get to call our fire numbers, which
yes.
I mentioned before. So that's fun in a way. It wasn't so much fun when we were there. And so you'd call out your fire numbers, and then we'll line up and go into chapel singing songs. And then there'll be the chapel service. and then we will make a pilgrimage, as it were, from chapel to Durkee Mansion, where we have put in a stone that is our 150th year stone, which was designed by an alumna, and we'll sing songs there. We'll be walking with our banners that Sammy had fixed, and she can tell you about all of those banners. And then and we'll have lanterns, which each thing is reflective of a different
event
that we had. So when we have lanterns, we used to have a Founders Day dance. Barb?
On Founders Day, there was a Founders Day dance, and that was a big deal. You know, we didn't have dances at Kemper Hall with boys until the late 30s. I've been working on a podcast, and I've been delving into the history more than I thought I would ever be doing, and looking up things. And the Kodak, our yearbook, didn't start until 1920, but we have old Kodaks from the beginning of the 20th century, and I think a little bit before that. That's a yearbook. So we really didn't have a yearbook until the 20s. We didn't have boys, dances with the boys, which were usually with St. John's and Northwestern, until the 30s, the late 30s. So we edged slowly into civilized activities. Yes.
Into the 20th century.
Yes.
When it was the military boys, you would sign up. But you'd have to put your height so that they could match a boy that was your height. And some of the girls went to dances at the military schools. Yes. I never did. Hmm. I don't know. Did you, Barb?
No.
It was difficult enough, just that one. And, of course, the nuns and the teachers would be in the room so that if there was any inappropriate closeness of any kind, they would gently come over and remind you that they were watching. And it wasn't so much for you necessarily, but certainly as well for the military boys.
Yeah. And our era was the twist. And you could not do the twist in the gym at Kemper Hall during a dance, I can tell you that.
Very rude. Yeah. Very rude.
Note to self, don't do the twist.
But on that Founders Day, we would also have a ceremony before, and the seniors and juniors could get into formals for this dance, but the seniors were in their formals and had a procession up to the stage and were lined up, and there was a queen. Who was the head of that was voted in by the school, and then the girls would line up on the sides. Hard to describe this, on the sides of the gymnasium, which was filled with lilacs, and they would come forward, and it would be a girl who was an old girl, a girl who had been at Kemper before, and a new girl who had just been there for her first year, and they would meet in the middle and get a lantern that they would hold together, making the new girl an old girl. Did I get all the points
for the
in?
End of the year?
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
And so we'll be singing that song as well. We'll be singing our alma mater song. So the lanterns are a part of this. The banners always went with us, the graduating class, to where they were putting in their stone. Mm. We always had that. So those two are covered in that particular thing. And then class pictures.
And we always, for graduation, walked out the gym, or I think that probably changed over years, but there's nice winding sidewalks at Kemper.
Right.
And so all the students would go in their uniforms and seniors in their whatever their outfit was for that day with the banners dispersed. So it was really a nice parade, if you will.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So this weekend of celebration and reunion is going to involve a lot of activities that will really evoke what you experienced as students while you were there.
Yeah.
Any idea how many are coming and how far back these alums go?
1953, I think, is the earliest one that's coming.
Wow.
Earliest date. And we have, with guests, I think at this point it's around 89
Wonderful.
So it's 60-something.
Yeah, and usually alumni weekend that we have every year runs around 30, 40 class people.
So this is a big event.
Yeah. Biggie for us. Yeah.
Usually the only ones that come are those who are celebrating their 25th, their 50th. So it alternates. It would be a main event. But along with the last of the traditions that we're doing is called Twelfth Night. And on the Twelfth Night, you know, after Christmas, we would have a celebration at Kemper. And all of the language groups would sing carols and things in their languages. So we'd have French, we'd have German, we'd have Spanish. I don't remember singing in Latin, but
no,
maybe maybe they did. I don't know. The Latin teacher didn't look like she would do that.
No.
But then, as well, there would be. there's a song. We'd have a king, a queen, a jester. The jester would collect everyone's woes and burn them so that your woes are now gone. It's a new year.
Wow.
And then we would have the boar's head, which is that Twelfth Night kind of tradition from medieval times.
Sure.
And so someone would bring in this boar's head on a plate, and everyone would sing the boar's head song. So we're doing that in the middle of lunch.
Ah.
So we've covered
quite
a number of things. Did I miss anything?
Just love it.
I don't think so.
And I love the interest in ceremony that was part of the Kemper legacy, and that you are lifting that up so spectacularly. Sounds wonderful. I know in our last couple of minutes, we want to talk about this museum of sorts that is housed on the grounds of Kemper Center. Susan, you're listed as the curator of the museum. So first of all, is this something that is already there, or is this something that's more in the works?
Yes. I'm sorry. I just took me by surprise, a little note. We've had the museum for a long time, far before I've been back in town, which has been 20 years. We have three small rooms. And earlier when I said that they had built the school and the chapel and the convent, there were cloisters for us to walk. Well, one of them had, at the time, I think they were confessionals. They were areas to hang the priest's robes and things. We have three of those little rooms that house our records. One has memorabilia. The other one's set up as what a bedroom might look like, you know, with the bed and the dresser and a lot of sports memorabilia in there. But in the main museum part, where our records are, we have trophies. When we would play other schools like Ferry Hall, Holy Child, and Waukegan, I can't remember all the names. But we have books. Some original class books. We have some original report cards that people have given us back.
Wow.
And people are sending in things now. They have, over the years, a little here, a little there, we have probably six actual study hall desks, and they're beautiful, and they were very comfortable. So we have three in the museum. We have a proctor's desk. We had a proctor who sat up high to watch over study hall so that nobody was talking, everybody was studying. And that's also where we house our banners. We probably have 35 of the original banners who, doing our research, Barb's doing the podcasts, I've helped with some of the research, and we found that the sisters are the ones who made, the Sisters of St. Mary's made our banners, and they were absolutely beautiful. In the later years, maybe somebody's mother stepped up. The kids would design it, and the mom had put it together.
So the banners belong to the classes. Every class had a banner, and they had a motto, which was usually in Latin, sometimes Greek, and maybe in the 70s there was a little English.
There was a little bit, very little.
I remember
little.
The word tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
On one of them. But we ran out of room, right? We're running out of room.
And there's the stones that go into Durkee Mansion every year. Match with the banner, the motto, so it's all together. So we have we've kept the banners in pretty good shape. Way back in the early years, like the early 20s, there was no acid-free paper and all that type of thing, so they're splitting a little bit, getting worn. So we have some photos, and we've had them duplicated. Hmm. So it's just on a very thick fabric, but it looks like the original pretty much.
Yeah.
Color-wise might be a little bit different. And so those we will use for our procession this year.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and then the original ones that are in good enough shape to show, we will have up in study hall so everybody can see their banners. But they go back to the early 20s.
Wonderful. So great that there's so many of those that exist and can be seen.
Yes, and we're getting more, we're getting more and more memorabilia in all the time. We just received a hand-tooled, painted leather autograph book, and that was very fashionable in the 1880s.
Mm.
And this is from one of the girls that graduated in 1886, I believe, and she became a sister later in her life.
Ah.
So we've got her autograph book, and we were thrilled to have that. It's absolutely stunning.
Wow, beautiful. Well, for all of this coming in, my understanding is that some renovation is going on. And Anna McGuire, I think you have a quick word about what's going on to make room for more things.
To make room for more things, we have taken the fourth floor of a dormitory floor, and it will house four different exhibits, as it were. One of them would be the history of Kemper and how it was begun, and it will have significant alumni. The first woman diplomat that worked her way up the foreign ladder, the foreign academy ladder, was from Kemper, and there's more and more. At any rate, so that would have that, the history plus famous, as it were, alumna. And then another room will have the history of the Sisters of St. Mary and how they, what they did for Kemper and many other places. They ran orphanages, they ran hospitals all over the United States. And there would be a small cell, as it were, they used to call them cells, the bedroom for the nun and what it looked like. Then there's going to be a room that has our study hall area and a series of displays on all the various things that happen at Kemper, the sports, the theater events, the musicals, all of that. And then the other room would be sort of an office, but would also be able to house any new memorabilia coming in. They would be able to then mark it and get it to an appropriate spot for it. And then we have a storage room. So that's on the fourth floor of the what used to be a dorm, and it's above the areas that we used to study in. There's a dorm floor below it, and then there is study hall and all the places where we were.
Wow. Exciting. And so that's underway? This work is underway?
It is. It is underway of finding financing, if that's an appropriate thing to plug in here.
Sure, absolutely.
I never know.
Yeah.
But yes, we're looking for financing. We have a lot of things lined up, and now it's just to fill in that part of it, and we are ready to go.
Very good. And Barb Axelson, what is the name of the podcast that you have created that reflects some of this?
In the Spirit of Kemper Hall. In the Spirit of Kemper Hall. So you bring up Google, and then in the Google Podcast, and then in the search field, you type In the Spirit of Kemper Hall. And I think there's five episodes. I'm working on episode six. It starts from the very beginning and goes up through. It's just amazing, interesting. Even if you don't care about Kemper Hall, it's just for Kenosha history, it's really fascinating stuff.
Very good. We encourage people to seek that out. And in the meantime, all three of you have done such a wonderful job of telling the Kemper story and your particular stories of your connection to Kemper. Barb Axelson, Anna McGuire, Susan McMinn. I'm so glad we got to have this conversation. Thank you so much, and happy anniversary to you and to Kemper.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is exactly 9 o'clock. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. NPR News and classical music on your gateway to public radio. I'm Dave McGrath. We will join NPR for the news at 9:01, and then Wisconsin Public Radio for their classical music programming at 9:04. And don't forget, the January 6th committee hearings will convene again this afternoon at 12, and you can hear those here on WGTD HD. Now, a quick check on the forecast from the National Weather Service for this Tuesday, the 28th. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warm today, a glorious day. A high of 83 with winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Rain likely tonight, below 63, and then another day like today, tomorrow, sunny and 82. Right now, 73 degrees in both Racine and Kenosha, 74 for Burlington.